Are you ready? Yeah, you got mine, I got yours, it don't matter. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, I got inspired last Sunday by Sister Shirley's message. And I thought, well, I'll just take advantage of what she's already started. And I want to share with you this morning. I'm going to start out like this. If there was a bathtub, just a big bathtub, and it was full of a substance, and they told you that the substance that was in that bathtub is grace, and it will cleanse you of any sin and anything that you have that stands between you and God, it'll take the odor away. You'll be a sweet aroma in His nostrils instead of a stinking mess. It will take care of all of your life from now on. And that's God's gift to you. So there it is. Now this is the issue. He will not throw you in the tub. If He did that, then everybody that's walking this earth, He'd throw them in the tub and they'd be right with Him. But Ephesians says, for by grace, what's in that tub, for by grace are you saved. Through faith. Faith is you getting in the tub. Not God coming up and shoving you in the tub. Not somebody else putting you in the tub. But you getting in the tub. That's what faith is. For by grace through faith. And nothing that's in that tub did you have anything to do with. That tub is not there because you lived a good life and you performed well. That tub with that grace in it is there because God loves us enough to give it to us. And our part is to just get in it. By grace we say, hey, I accept the fact that that's where my hope is. I accept the fact that that's what God wants me to do. I accept the fact that the power of God is in that tub, and I'm about to get in it. And when I get in it, I won't ever be out. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. You don't earn the grace. No matter how many good works you do, you don't earn a dime's worth of grace. You don't earn it. God gave it. You can't earn something that's been given. And we're going to talk about that faith and the way we have to use the faith that God gave us and how strong the faith God gave us really is. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. The good works that didn't get you created into Christ Jesus. You do the good works because you are created by Christ Jesus to do them. Grace will bring the best out of you. Grace wins every time. Now, if you try to make it by your works, you're going to walk under guilt because you're never going to work it up enough. Sister Shirley was in Mark 11. And that's where I'm going to start. We're talking about grace. and we're talking about faith. Mainly we're going to be talking about faith, because faith is our part. But even the faith that's our part, God gave it to us. God gave us something for nothing, and then gave us the power to believe, or gave us the faith to believe that we can have what he gave. So what do? We just cooperate with God. You want your life to go right? Cooperate with God. Let him do in you what he wants to do in you, because you're never going to create much in your own self. He's going to have to do the one that, or be the one that does the create. We've got to allow him to change us. Verse 20. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Faith, conviction, confidence, trust, belief, reliance, trustworthiness, and persuasion. In the New Testament setting, pistis, or the, which is the Greek word, is the divinely implanted principle of inward confidence, assurance, trust, and reliance in God and all that he says. The word can sometimes denote the object or content of belief. Have faith in God. If you're going to have faith in something, have faith in God. Have as much faith in God as a little kid has in his parents when he's little. You can put him up on the edge of the roof, Daddy, and stand on the ground and tell him to jump, and you'd catch him, and here he comes. But God tells us stuff that he'll do for us, and we just stand and look and wonder, will he? Will he? And did you know that if a little child gets around his daddy or his mama, he's not afraid of a bear? I mean, if a bear come up, he'd come running, grab daddy's leg, and in his mind, he's safe. Now, in that situation, daddy might have some problems. But see, our daddy doesn't have any problems that he can't solve. But with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. So have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, the sad thing about that is that that's true no matter what you say. Oh, the poor old me. It's getting flu season. I get the flu every year. If anybody's going to get it, it'll be me. I just don't have anything, you know. I'd give if I had more than I got. If you got a dollar, give a dime. No matter what you got, it's what you do with what you got. But about the widow's mite, she didn't have much, but it was all she had. She put it into the offering at the temple, and Jesus made the statement, that woman has given all more than all of these others that have given all of these rich gifts, because they gave out of their leftovers, and she gave all she had. I heard a song, and I mentioned it Wednesday night, but I heard a song, heard it several times, and the more I listen to it, the more powerful it gets. And it's a song, and I don't know who does it, but it's called Dream Small. Now, you may think that, well, that's not much faith. But the point of the song is this. If you only dream for the big things that you can never reach for, and you hold on to that dream, all it ever becomes is a dream. But if you take advantage of the little things that happen around you, the person you can bless next to you, the one that you can give a smile to, the one that you can pat on the back and say you did a good job, when you give those things out, that may be small, but they're big in the lives of the people that are receiving. And so don't sit around wasting your time waiting for something big to happen when there's so much opportunity for little things, small things to happen, small dreams. You might make a person's day just simply by speaking to them. I heard somebody give it a testimony not long ago that they gave somebody something really nice. And the person said, thanked them so much and said, this is the nicest thing anybody ever gave me. Nobody's ever given me anything nice like this before. And we miss those things. We can have what we say. One of these days I'm going to be big, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And what are you doing now? Nothing. I'm just waiting on that day to happen. If you don't do the little things now, the big thing is not coming. Big things are made from little things. When you were born into this world, you were a little thing. I mean, even though you might, even if you weighed 10 pounds compared to what happened in your life, that was a little thing. You were a little thing. What if you'd stay there all along waiting to be something big? You don't go from 10 pounds to 175 pounds and 6 feet tall in a week. And if you had that mentality, you'd never go anywhere. But we get up and we get in mentality of one of these days. I'm just believing this. I'm believing that. What are you doing now? What are you turning your faith loose now? Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Lord, I ask you to heal me if it be your will. In Jesus' name. Now, you know what? That sounds like humility. But it's really not. Lord, heal me if it be your will. What you're saying is, I don't know whether he's going to heal me or not. It's his decision. If it was his decision, he'd heal you every time. He'd heal us all. He'd give us everything we needed. But we have a part to play, and that is believing. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. God's not sitting around saying, do I really want to heal them? Maybe I'm not going to help them pay that bill. I don't know. They've said some pretty nasty things the last couple of days. You know, some things you think just conversation, God would think they were nasty things. Now, I'm not talking about legality. I'm talking about common sense. I'm talking about walking in faith, believing God, trusting God, letting him have the last word over things, because you're believing that the last word is going to be the best word. And you're agreeing with it. Now, where does believing put you? Let's jump over to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, I'm going to begin with verse 13. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. In other words, the promise that God made to Abraham wasn't based on how well that his offspring, how well his seed was going to be able to keep the law that God was going to give to them, the written law through Moses. This is what we got to understand. God's covenant with Abraham preceded God's covenant with Moses and the Israelites. God's covenant was made with Abraham because Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. God didn't give Abraham a set of laws to follow. He gave him a promise. And Abraham believed the promise. But God's promise is that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. It doesn't say shall be saved if. Shall be saved if they go to church every Sunday. Or if they do this, or if they wear that, or if they don't go here, or if they become a part of this, or if. It doesn't say that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What do I need to do to be saved, the Philippian jailer said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what Abraham did, and he got into covenant with God, and God said, this is an everlasting covenant, and I will never go back on it. Never. Be seen through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Through the righteousness of faith. You are righteous not because of what you do. You are righteous because of what you believe. If you believe you are righteous, then you're agreeing with God. Because he said the blood of Jesus Christ would make us righteous. It would make us clean. It would set us apart. And what we have to do is to believe that that's the truth. And you will find yourself doing what you have told yourself and decided yourself to believe. We do what we believe. It's hard to get people to do anything that they don't believe. They won't put their trust in it because they don't know whether they believe it or not. But Abraham believed God, and he believed God with no evidence at all except what God said. He got up from his home, went into a country that he didn't know anything about, based upon the fact that God said, do it. And Abraham didn't have anything to support it except the Word of God. We need to live like that. When God gives us something, when something is placed in our heart, and we read it in his word and we say, I accept that, then accept and hold on to it and don't be moved by anything that you see that either shows that it wasn't. Did you know the land that God gave Abraham and his offspring, Abraham was a sojourner all the first time around. He was a sojourner. And his son and his grandsons, they were sojourners in the land. And then things went south, literally. They had to go to Egypt when the famine came. And they were down there for 460 years. But when they came back, they weren't sojourners in that land anymore. They were the possessors of it. Now, there was a whole lot of Canaanite mess. There was a whole lot of demonic activity through the pagan religion and everything that was in that area. But when God's people rose up with God in their eyes and the power of God flowing through them, they took out the opposition. Then when they started dabbling in it, then they got corrupted. Started serving other gods, and God had to deal with them. But they were his people, and they are still his people, regardless of what the world says or does. And that's one reason that the entire Middle East has not been able to take them out. The Arab world has one great desire, and that is to see Israel totally destroyed and non-existent. And they haven't been able to make it happen yet. And they have outnumbered them more than they were outnumbered when Jehoshaphat was facing his foes. For if those who, I'm in verse 14, for if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. How can you transgress a law that's not there? Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. Even when God was dealing with Abraham, it was by Abraham's faith and God's grace that it all worked. Wasn't by what Abraham did some really unwise things. I mean, things that you know, today, some churches, he'd been put out of the church. I mean, you know, trying to pawn off his wife as his sister. Having a baby by his wife's handmaiden. I mean, but God. God's on your side. God was on Abraham's side. God's on your side. Do you think Abraham might not have been the first person that God called, but the others wouldn't take it? They wouldn't take the offer? But God found Abraham. Oh, he was Abram when he found him. Then he started speaking into his life, and Abraham started listening. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. In other words, what Paul is saying here to the Romans, you may be Gentiles. You may never have been a Jew. You may be Gentiles. You may have been pagans at one time. But now, because of God's promise to Abraham, and because your obedience and acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Savior, you now have become a son of Abraham. If you're a son of Abraham, then walk in the faith of Abraham, which is thus: as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, verse 17, in the presence of him whom he believed. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. World may tell you you're not, but God said you are. You may not perform to please everybody in the world, but God's not related to you by your performance. He's related to you by blood. Blood of his son. We have the blood of his son. We have the blood of God flowing through our veins. Sure, we're going to make mistakes. When a little one's learning to walk and he falls down, that don't nullify the fact that he's a son. That don't nullify the fact that his daddy and mama's blood's flowing through his veins. It just means he fell down. And they don't go over there and stomp him in the floor. They go over there and help him up. So he can try it again. As long as we are trying to do what God has called us to do and to be what God called us to be, and we fall down, he's on our side. He'll pick us up. And he does not put a mark on our chart and say that on such and such a day they fell down. It's over. The steps of a good man are honor of the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he will not be cast down, for the Lord will uphold him with his hand. That's a promise. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of, or who heals all of your diseases, who forgives all of your iniquities. It doesn't say he picks and chooses. You did that. That was so bad. I can't forgive you for it. All your afflictions, all your iniquities, all your disease, all. Cause those things that do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, now this is Abraham, is the father of our faith. This is who we're supposed to, as if you look at it as an individual, a live person here on this earth. Not talking about looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking to God. It says, who, this is Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope believe. Contrary to hope. Everything around him that God promised looked contrary. Contrary to hope, in hope, believe. He He believed in hope, the hope that God had given him. He believed in it so that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, Now you can get some sort of off-the-table stuff taught about faith where faith actually turns into a work. Six steps to make your faith work. One step will make your faith work. And that one step is believing in God from the beginning. God said it, He'll do it. And what do? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You don't teach somebody about faith one time and say, okay, that's it. Now you got faith. No. How would you like to go into school to have one math lesson and then be handed the final exam? Say, now, through the exam, we had your math lesson. If you hear faith every Sunday from now till the time you go, you'll still find that there's something that's going to speak to you, encourage you, or open your eyes about something. It'll do it. But if you keep hearing condemnation every Sunday, guess what? You're going to live in condemnation because that's what you've been taught. You have been taught to feel condemned. And that song called Grace Wins Every Time, in it, it's a battle. It's a war between grace and guilt. You can accept either way. You can go the grace way, you can go the guilt way, but grace wins every time. Guilt won't get you anywhere. How many of you have accomplished anything by guilt? The only place the guilt will get you is in jail. And that's when you're really guilty. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. What was the promise of God? I'm going to make you a great and mighty nation. You are going to be the father of many nations. He wasn't in any condition to do that. In the natural, just wasn't going to happen based on natural thinking. But it said he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. You know how you strengthen your faith? You give glory to God. You get out here, you know, just like it said when David came back from his, during the war he was having there before he became king, he came back to Ziklag, and it was all burnt, and they'd taken all the people that were there, the women and children, taking them captive. David's men wanted to kill him. And it says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. Now, what did David do? We got a whole book of what David would do when he'd have times of difficulties and times of problems, and it's called a psalm. Psalms. He'd sing. He'd play his harp. He'd do anything to strengthen himself in the Lord. That's what Abraham did. He strengthened his faith by giving glory to God. When all of the evidence said it isn't going to happen, Abraham was saying, thank you, Lord God, for the mighty nation. Thank you, Lord God, for the son you promised me. I know you're going to do it. There's no doubt in my mind that you're going to do it. Glory, hallelujah, bless the Lord. If he'd have sat over here on a stump and meditated on all the circumstances, he'd have had nothing. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're sitting on a stump, looking at all the stuff that's going wrong, and you're boo-hooing about it, get off the stump, start praising God, or nothing's going to happen. And don't be moved by what's going on around you. If we were moved by what's going on around us, if my wife was moved by what's going on around her, I wouldn't be standing up here today preaching to you. I'd have been gone home. You got to fight this thing not under your own strength. but wrapped up in the armor of God, and having on the robe of righteousness, and putting on love, which is the basic garment that you should never be caught without. That's what the scripture says. All right. Giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what He, God, had promised, He was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. But ahead of myself earlier, it was accounted to him for righteousness. What was the faith that he had in God's promise to him? God promised it through Jesus Christ, you'd be saved. Now, don't waver on the promise. Give glory to God. Be fully convinced that what he had promised, he's also able to perform. You may not look at yourself now and see what you think is a citizen of heaven. But when you get to heaven, you're not going to have your weaknesses. They're going to drop off with your flesh. When you leave your flesh, when your flesh breathes its last breath, and then you're gone, whatever is not of God and is not wrapped up in Jesus Christ, it's going in the grave. But we have the promise that one day it's coming out of the grave, and when it comes out, it's going to be woohoo! The perfect creation. Now, it was not written for his sake alone. What? Now. When's now? Now is always now, right? If it happens now, it's now. 5 minutes from now, it's going to be now. See, 5 minutes from now, it will be now. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. In other words, all that's being said, all that God did, all the records of it, not just for Abraham, but for us. So we'd have something to, in common with the promise. He wanted to make sure we knew that the promise to Abraham was also to you. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses. He was delivered up for our offenses. He died for us because he didn't have any offenses. There was nothing in his life that they could be nailed to the cross. That was sin. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That's not written here. I'm just quoting from another place. Delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. He was raised to justify us. Raised to justify us. He did not need to justify himself. The justification was ours. So, where does that leave us? One more jump and we're done. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, starting with verse 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Do you get the miracles of God? Do you do the mighty things of God, the Spirit moving in you? Does he do it because of the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? If he did it by the works of the law, we wouldn't see anything happening. or by the hearing of faith. When we hear the Word of God, and when we hear the voice of God in our heart, it stirs us up. And then we see the thing, the works of the law, the working of miracles among you. Did you get healed from whatever it was God healed you of because you kept the law? No. He got it because you believed. Was I raised from the dead because I was good at keeping the law? No. Because my wife believed. Of course, we believed together before that, but at that point, she was on her own in believing. I was just waiting. Just as Abraham, verse 6, believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Faith. Hearing God. Faith. How's it work? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It works the same way. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. If you're a son of Abraham, you're a son of Abraham by faith. And it's by faith, not in Abraham. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. What's your faith in? Don't have faith in your faith, you'll fall off. You get to the point where you got faith in your faith and you'll run into something you don't want. You got to have faith in God. Don't be, you know, the thing. Don't have faith in your ability to do good works. Do the good works because it's in you to do them, because the grace of God's in you. But don't have faith in that. Have faith in Jesus Christ. Have faith in God. Do the right things, but have faith in God. You're not going to get anything but just by doing the right things. You're going to get a good life. Things are going to work out better. You can't go out here and violate the laws of man and expect things to go right. It's amazing. And you see people. I saw something yesterday. We were downtown days. I saw a group of young people. I guess they were probably in their late teens, maybe around 18, somewhere 18 to 20. They were still young, but there was a whole line of them, about six or seven of them. Every one of them had a cigarette in their mouth. And it just kind of grieved me. Not that God's going to judge it as a sin, but I saw them, and there they were, and I thought, now, why are they doing that? What really good thing is there? And I looked around Laverne, and I said, you know, if they're really sincere about that, when they get to be about 45 or 50, they're going to wonder, why in the world did I ever do this? Why did I ruin my health? Why is it I can't hardly breathe now? Not putting condemnation, but just reason. Jesus never condemned the sinner, but he never said, well, it don't matter. But he never condemned them. And I'm not condemning those young kids. I really felt compassion for them. You don't know what you're doing. Like what Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what to do. But when we know what we're doing, and let's make the right choices. Let's walk in faith. Let's strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. We'll get the same that God gave Abraham if we will believe with Abraham for the things that God promised us. You'll get all the grace from God that you believe you can get. Some people believe they just got enough to get saved and they got to hold on. I got a handful of grace, and I got to hold on. This grace has got to last me 50 more years. God's got all the grace you need and could ever use, and he's just waiting for us to walk into it. Verse 11. But no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. If you're going to walk under the law, you better live by it. You can't pick and choose what part of it you want to live under. You got to take all of it or nothing. That's why we got grace. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's how important faith is. But it's not something you have to work up. It's something that you have to start exercising and believe. When you were 10, 8, 9, 6, some kind of age, did they take you to the hospital and a doctor do a surgery on you and put new muscles in there in your legs and arms that you didn't have when you were born and couldn't hardly stand up by yourself? Did they give you a muscle transfusion? No. What happened? When you were 6, you were using the same muscles that you had when you were 6 months. Except through use and nourishment, you grew because you ate the right stuff. You grew because you ate food that was nourishing your body to grow. Some of it wasn't as good for you as some of the others, but I can promise you this. If you, when you were small, had a diet of tree bark, and all you got was tree bark and water, you would not have grown up healthy. You would have probably died and taken very many days. You'd have starved to death on tree bark. There's a lot of Christians that are living, and what they're eating is tree bark. And it's not very nourishing, and it doesn't give them much strength. But when you understand the power of the Word of God, the power of grace, and the power of faith that brings that grace into your life and activates it, you can run through a troop and leap over a wall. And when you go out of here today, you go out of here with your head up and knowing you're a child of God, and let the people out there see you and see that God is working in your life, and they'll come to you and they'll ask you for prayer. You know, there's people in this community that call us for prayer. And probably you too. But they call us for prayer, and they may have had somebody, well, I'm sure they had somebody that's been part of this church, or maybe even they might have been at one time or other. But they'll call us for prayer, and you know, we got this, and would you put it on your prayer list and all that? And if you invite them to church, they wouldn't darken the door. It's just like, no, but boy, when you get in trouble, hey, would you pray for me? You pray for us? Sure. And people been through our church over the many years we've been here. Some of them haven't been here in 20 years. They're maybe not going anywhere to church, or maybe they're going somewhere else. And they'll talk to us when we meet them out and say, well, you know, we're over here, but you know, you're still our pastors. And I don't object. I don't look at them and say, no, I'm not. My question is, if we're your pastors, why are you going somewhere else? But still love them. Still love them. But do anything good for them. It's just the way we are. A stamp. We'll put a little more confidence in God by believing Him. Just believe Him. Don't base what you receive from Him on what you've done. You base what you receive from Him on what Jesus did. Jesus is what made us available. Well, let me back it up. Jesus is what made God's promises and blessings available to us. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. But he did it anyway. And that's the hope that we have. The hope in Jesus Christ. Grace. Grace. God's grace. Grace that is greater than all of our sin. Grace. Grace. God's grace. When you go out of here, trust in God's grace. It'll never fail you. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all you've promised. Thank you, Lord God, that you promised to forgive all of our iniquities and heal all of our diseases. You promised that you had given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. You said through the psalmist, I was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And my God, to supply all your needs, Lord, his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And Lord God, we believe that. I believe that right now. If there is sickness in anybody's body in this place this morning, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. It's not something you gave us. It's something that you healed us from. And I thank you, Lord God. Thank you for releasing that healing power. And Lord God, if there is a mental oppression, emotional distress, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over that. We break the power of any demonic presence, influence, and activity that's going on against anyone. In the name of Jesus, we plead the blood of Jesus over them, Lord God, and if they receive it right now, we believe that you're working in their behalf. Lord God, you are our deliverer. Thank you, Lord God, this morning for bathing us in the presence of your Spirit, for pouring out upon us, Lord God, the life of God, for stirring up in us, and thank you, Lord God, for the blood of Jesus flowing through us, every part of us. I thank you, Lord God, for each one in here, that their minds are clear and focused upon you, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that their bodies are responding to the healing power of the Word of God, that our spirits are leaping for joy on the inside of us, Lord, as we think about how much you have given us through Abraham on down till now, and all of it through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God, for your help. As we leave here now, I thank you for being with each one. May they be restored and made whole and be complete and full in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Flyers for the camp meeting. They're back here on the table.